I'd like you to take the Word of God, turn with me to Psalm 33 as we stand to our feet in honor of the Word of God, Psalm 33. I'd like to read one verse of Scripture, and that would be verse number 12. Psalm 33 and verse number 12. The psalmist writes, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for all that You've done for us. We thank You for Thy precious Word, for its promises. We thank You, Lord, for freedom that we have in Thee and liberty we have in Thee. I pray for those that may be here today that's never trusted Christ as Savior. I pray that this would be the day they recognize their need of Thee. Understand that they're a sinner and see how that You died to pay for their sins and put their faith and trust in the work of Calvary. Lord Jesus, I pray that You'll help me as I preach. Lord, help me to be right and pleasing to Thee in every word that's given. Lord, we thank You for this land we live in. We thank You, Lord, for the freedom we have. We thank You most of all for Christ and all that He's done in our lives. I pray now Thy will be done. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." It's a blessing today to be able to be in a place and in a land with the freedom to worship God. How good the Lord is to have delivered us and to have given us this great land. The people that fought for this and the wars and the battles and the blood that was shed allows us the opportunity to come together today to congregate together, if you will, and to open up the Bible and to read from God's holy word in the presence of people without fear of somebody coming through the door and shutting us down. We have a freedom that a lot of places in the world does not understand. Even places that are not under communism or other social ideas, we have a freedom that many lands just don't understand or do not comprehend. So because this land was built upon the principles of the Word of God. And truly, this is the land of the free. We think about who we are, we realize that we're the United States of America, and we talk about that with great pride. We've been independent now for 233 years, and I believe it's the greatest and most wonderful nation the world's ever known. More things have been accomplished through this land and in helping others than in any other place. But the Bible says that the nation that's blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. One of the reasons this nation has been blessed is because this nation has honored God and given people the freedom to worship Him and to live for Him. We're free today. With the help and the grace of God, I want to preach on this thought. Let freedom reign. Let freedom reign. And as we look at this, there's three things I want us to look at. I want us to see today America's greatness. I want us to see Almighty God. And I want us to see amazing grace. And we're going to understand how all of these are something that we can enjoy great freedoms through. The Bible says here in the Psalm 33, as we look at America's greatness, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." I want us to look at that. Blessed is the nation. Our nation, United States of America, was founded and based upon the principles of God and His Word. Our laws were taken from the laws of Moses, if you will. Many of them came from those founding principles that God gave so many thousands of years ago. We see how that God worked in a mighty way. In November the 11th in 1620, there was a group of pilgrims, 102 strong, that was getting ready to land on the shore. And before they did, they said, "We must make a compact together." And we must have an agreement together. And they began to write the Mayflower Compact. And they began with these words. It says, before reaching the shore at Plymouth Rock, they said, let's agree on this. And they agreed on the compact that begins with this statement. It says, in the name of God, amen. And then they began to write this great compact. And if you'll go back and study the history, you'll realize that these people were coming looking for a freedom. In 1630, the colonists signed the compact, and it says something like this: we all have come into these parts of America with one and the same end, namely to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through this land, missionaries were sent out all across the world to tell people of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand America's greatness today, because we see our founding fathers in these principles. Daniel Webster, who was a great statesman, said, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. The Declaration of Independence says, all men are created equal, not evolved. Our founding fathers did not believe in evolution. They believed that we were created by Almighty God. The Constitution was being written. There were so many disagreements and so many arguments and so many different things going on. And Benjamin Franklin, who was not known as a Christian at all, as a matter of fact, he was a great American, a great patriot, but was not a believer as far as anything we can read. But he had an understanding of the need for God. And with all the arguments going on, and there was no one there ready to sign their names to the Constitution, with all the things that were happening, and all the fussings, and all the feudings, and all the disagreements, he stopped, and this is what he said. He said, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. And I also believe without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. He had an understanding that we needed God in our government, that we needed God in our society. And if this land was going to be anything at all, it was going to be because God helped this land. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. After he made this statement, the delegates agreed, and they stopped for fervent prayer, and the difficulty seemed to dissolve, and out of their meeting grew the great document, the great historic Constitution of the United States. Is probably the most important document that's ever been written. It's given to us, this great Constitution that we have. Thank God for people that recognize the need of God. One of those patriots of the early years, the time of the Revolution, was a man by the name of Patrick Henry. Before the war and discussing the options of the war, when there were great arguments going on as to whether there should be a war or not. And it began not as a declaration of independence. It began through rights. But then, you know, on July the 4th, 1776, they decided we want to be independent of England altogether. And they wrote the Declaration of Independence. And those founding fathers signed their name to it. And they began to write these things. But before the war ever began, before all these things ever happened, when the things were being discussed about the war and about the possible fight that was happening, and that was before them, and all the things that were happening, this is what Patrick Henry said. He said, besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations. And then he gave the end of his speech. He ended his speech with these words, and that's been repeated all throughout history. And he raised his hand and he said, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. He said, I want this liberty that only God can give, and we must fight for this liberty. It said in the will of Patrick Henry that he wrote this in his will, this following paragraph. He said, I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There's one thing more that I wish I could give to them. That is the Christian religion. If they had that and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that and I had given them the world, they would be poor. These men knew the need for God. And they had these understandings. America's greatness comes to us because men and women have fought and struggled and died that we could be free. Jefferson said, the government which governs best is the government which governs least. Understanding the fact that we need certain freedoms. And these founding fathers, Washington and Adams and Jefferson and John Quincy Adams and these men, Benjamin Franklin and all these great men, and we could go on and on, the Hancocks, and just read some of the things that they had to say, understanding that if we were going to be a free country, that this freedom was only going to come as God helped us. And dear friends, I want you to know we have been the freest nation that the world has ever known. It came because America's greatness came because we knew we needed God and we trusted God. Now, I want to tell you something. It didn't come without battles. It didn't come without... There were people here. There were loyalists and there were Tories and they were given to the king. And there were those that fought against this. There's no doubt. But I'm glad that there were some men and some women that had an understanding that we needed freedom. The freedom to worship God, and the freedom to come together, and the freedom to not have to be dictated to us the kind of church that we should have. I was thinking as Brother Vic was telling me that he had a Jehovah Witness come by to his house yesterday. Now, you know that we understand that they are a false religion. We believe that with all of our hearts. But just as they have the right to go knock on the door, so do we. And I thank God that we have that freedom. You know, we can't deny them their rights and not give us our rights. I think of a story one time about a person that just got saved. And a Jehovah's Witness came to his door. He didn't understand everything there was to know about the Jehovah's Witness religion. And he listened intently. And then he went to his pastor and he said, I had this person come knock on the door. And the pastor began to tell him all the different things that were false about their beliefs. You know, they don't believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe in God and country. They don't celebrate our liberty and our freedom. They don't do any of these different things. They think that everything is based on works. And so this man said, I'm going to be ready the next time they come. And so certainly one day he was standing there at the door and he looked and here comes a lady down the sidewalk. He said, here comes another one. And so before that lady gets up to the door, he bursts out the door and he begins to look at her and he begins to give a message on the deity of Christ, how that Christ is God, and he begins to talk about the freedom that he has in the Lord Jesus Christ and how he's saved by grace through faith and there's no works involved. And then he brings out the flag and he starts waving the flag, singing God Bless America. And I mean, I'm telling you, he puts it up there and he says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And when he gets done, he looks at her and he says, lady, what do you think about that? And she said, in all my years of being an Avon lady, I've never experienced anything quite like that. Bad. And as frustrated as we may get, they do have the right to tell others about their belief. And you have the right to make a decision. You have a right to stand up for what's right. And before we begin to cast stones at religions like the Jehovah's Witness, the Muslims, for all the recruiting that they're doing, should we not look at our own selves and say, what are we doing? In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about the great accountability that's been given to us. Great accountability has been given because of truth that's been passed on. In our land, truth has been passed from generation to generation to generation. And if we don't do with that truth that's been given to us what God would have us to do, we're going to be an empty vine. Dear friends, our vine's getting pretty barren as it is, as America. America's greatness is not once what it was. America's been a liberator of countries. Now we're going around apologizing for liberating. If we don't recognize God and understand that God has given us something to do here, America wasn't just formed to be its own self. God gave us the privilege to go out and to tell others about the Lord and to liberate countries and to do great things. And America was great and respected. There was a time when people wanted to come and be a part of this country. And now people mock and make fun of America. What's going on? Look, it's not the current administration or just the past administration or even the one before that. It's many administrations and many generations we have said we want less and less and less and less of God. And now we're reaping the rewards of having less of God. America was great because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can America be great again? It certainly can. As long as God's on the throne. But dear friends, we got a ways to go. Do I think it will be? That's up to the Lord. I believe He's going to return soon. I wish He would. What my children and grandchildren are going to have to face in this country that knows not, that is more and more getting away from God. I was reading the article the other day, and it was talking about one nation under God. It wasn't on some Christian website or even some conservative type thinking. It was just on a regular AP thing, and it was talking about how this generation doesn't know God. And the way they were putting it, I mean, they weren't saying that's a bad thing. They were just saying that, you know, we've changed. Times have changed. America will not be great if America does not honor God. May the Lord help us to see that. May He get a hold of some people's hearts to see that. We see America's greatness. Next thing I want you to see, as we understand this America's greatness, people have fought that we could be free. And we want that freedom to reign. The next thing, as we look at this, let freedom reign, I want you to see Almighty God. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There's a lot of nations that have all kinds of gods. But when we look at this, there's only one God that's truly God. Genesis 1:1 declares Him to be the Creator God. In the beginning, God. That word for God is Elohim. It's plural. In other words, in the beginning, God. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And in the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost created the heaven and the earth. He is the Almighty God. It does not say in the beginning, God was created. It says in the beginning, God created. God has no beginning. He is God. Always has been, and He always shall be. Before time was, God already was. He's from everlasting to everlasting, the Bible says. He declared to Moses, when He told Moses, I want you to go before the children of Israel there in Egypt. And Moses said, who am I going to say it is that sent me? And He said, tell them that the I am, hath sent you. But God, he said, you tell them that the I Am hath sent you, the great I Am, the one that in the beginning created this world. It is he that hath sent you. And in the New Testament, we see the great discourses on the I Am as the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. Dear friends, he'll sustain you in a time of need. He says, I am the light of the world. When there's darkness all around, Jesus Christ is the light that will help you to make it through this world. He says, I am the door. There's no other way to heaven than through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, not only am I the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto God but by me. He said, I am the true vine. He said, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. And thank God in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1 and verse 17, he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, John said. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am he. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and have the keys of death. In the beginning, the God that created the heaven and the earth robed himself in flesh, came into this world, died on an old rugged cross. But dear friends, he said, I am he that liveth, but then I was dead. But I want you to know, John, I am alive and I am alive forevermore. And dear friends, that is what freedom is all about. Because when you bow at the nail-scarred feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're bound at a resurrected Savior who died that you and I could be free. That's the Almighty God I'm talking about. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He is almighty because the grave could not hold him. He is almighty because sin could not take a hold of his life. He is almighty today because he always has been and he always shall be. And he is almighty because one day, and I believe it soon, he's coming back to gather his children and to be with him forever and ever. What a Savior. America's greatness. Almighty God. The Bible teaches us because of him, we can be free. You know what you're looking at today? I've been set free. Sin shackled me. Sin bound me. Sin had a hold of my life. But Almighty God paid for my sins. And he set me free. And that brings us to amazing grace. We've seen America's greatness. We've seen Almighty God. I want you to see amazing grace. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Amazing grace. Sent Christ to the cross. Amazing grace sent the sinless to die for sinful men. Amazing grace sent the love of God to die for an unlovely people. Amazing grace sent the beauty of heaven to die for the wretchedness and the ugliness of the world. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What makes grace so amazing is that anyone can have it. Red, yellow, black, white. It doesn't matter your dialect. It doesn't matter your wealth, your health. It doesn't matter your size. You can be short, you can be tall. You can have brown hair, black hair, red hair, and in this world you can have pink hair, blonde hair, and you can still have it. This grace is there. And we look sometimes and we say, but look at their life. Look at how far they've gone. Look at what they've done. Look at the sins they've committed. Their sin just seems to be heaping one on top of the other. Sin after sin after sin after sin after sin. But the Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Did you realize there's not one sin that God's grace cannot forgive you of? That's amazing grace. It's amazing that He would love an old sinner like me. That He would die on the cross to pay for my sins. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This amazing grace, first of all, I want you to see that it forgives. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're all sinners, dear friends, but God's grace forgives our sins. Then I want you to see that this amazing grace not only forgives, it forgets. I like that, don't you? Notice what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 8, verse number 12. He said, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." That's all right, isn't it? Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Not only does amazing grace, it forgives, it forgets, but I want you to see that amazing grace forever settles any debt that you would ever owe. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, and verse number 10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." I like that. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Do you realize the blood of bulls, the blood of goats, the turning over of new leaves, giving up this and giving up that will never take away your sins? Can't do it. In the Old Testament, they shed blood, but that was just a picture of the grace of Christ. They had to trust what God said about Christ's coming. But we understand here that the Bible says that these offerings can never take away sins. But this man, talking about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And listen to this: "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Amazing grace forgives, it forgets, and it forever settles your sin debt. And dear friend, amazing grace today can set you free. Amazing grace is the only avenue to utmost freedom. And thank God for America. It's the land of freedom. Thank God for Almighty God. It's the Creator. He's the Creator of freedom. But thank God for amazing grace, because it brought to us the gift of freedom. John chapter number 8, verse 32, the Bible says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, so many people make that statement all the time. They say, "Well, you know, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free." But the truth will not set you free if you do not know the truth, dear friends. And the truth is that Jesus loves you. Died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, rose again the third day. And He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the truth. The truth is you're a sinner. And the truth is He's the Savior. The truth is that if you don't put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, you're going to die and go to hell. But the truth is, if you do put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, whenever you leave this world, by way of the grave or by way of the rapture, heaven will be your home. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the Bible says in John 8:36, "If the Son," S-O-N, if the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Son, therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. No doubt about it. Now you know the truth. Let Jesus set you free today. Let freedom reign. America, I'm just a small voice. Nobody but 100 people will ever normally hear me. But America needs to hear today that the freedom that we enjoy is certainly because men and women have fought for this, but because God gave it to us, and we must acknowledge Him. We need to understand that Almighty God is who the Bible says He is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent, one with the other. And then amazing grace can set you free. Are you bound by the chains of sin? Are you in bondage to certain things in life? Well, grace can set you free. You say, well, if sin's just too big, well, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Freedom's there. I have freedom as a citizen, but I have a greater freedom as a Christian. Do you realize that America could come under a communist regime or a dictatorship or some ungodly thing? I'm just saying, America could become a nation that does not give you certain freedoms like we have now. It could happen with any country. Do you realize that in China there are people that have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and while they're living in a communist country, they're more free than people that are in this great land with all of its freedom that have not trusted Christ as Savior? See, there's a freedom in Christ that no one or no thing can take away from you. Let freedom reign in our lives. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for America. Thank You, Lord, for how You've blessed us. Thank You, Lord, for our founding fathers, and many of them who had their faith in Thee and their eyes fixed on Thee, who had their sights set on a land of freedom and opportunities. But Lord, more than that, I want to thank You for who You are and for the grace that You've brought into this world in the person of the Son of God. Thank You, Lord, for the day that I trusted Thee as my Savior. Thank You for the freedom I have today. Lord, there's those in our midst today that may have never trusted Christ by faith, and I pray that this day, Lord, they've come to an understanding that they're a sinner. Christ died on the cross for their sins. And Lord, that they can be set free. I pray for those of us that have taken for granted the freedom we have as Americans and as Christians, that today we would find ourselves on our face before Thee, thanking You and asking You to help us to not take for granted what we do have, but Lord, giving You the glory for it. Please have Your way in this time of invitation. May Thy will be done. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed while the piano begins to play, getting ready a hymn of invitation.